and try to understand a little bit about what God is trying to get across to us in that story. So many times we read it and we take it for granted, and it's something you see in the children's stories, and it's something that you can just skip over as a nice story. But when you see what God is trying to get across and what He's trying to say to us through this story, we've got to keep it in perspective. And if there's one thing that is a theme of my life, is I've got to see things in context. No story in the Bible can you just go and just put your finger on and understand the whole thing by just seeing that story there. It does have a message for you, but a much wider message when you see it in a broader context. And the intention of the author of the lessons this quarter was to address that, address the destiny of man, the involvement of God, the plan that God has for us in a broader perspective. And I'd like to do that this morning with the story of Joseph. You know, when you realize it, every single one of us are facing exactly the same issue, the same question. I don't know when you wrestled through that, but I know that everyone sitting in this room has addressed that question. We're not saved in groups. We're saved one by one. Do you ever recall sitting down and wrestling with that question, where did I come from? How did I get here? What is this all about? What is my destiny? How do I get from here to there? Do you recall wrestling with that issue? Trying to figure out where you fit in all of this. And not only do we try to figure out what it's about, but do we have the correct flavor? Do we have just exactly the right statement? Are we exactly in the right place? Good morning. Good to have you here. And so I know that there is a grand designer, but I know also, because of all the confusion, that there is one that wants to take everything that God has said and twist it and confuse it and to wipe it out if he possibly can. We're not the only ones wrestling with that question. I can safely say that every human being that's ever been on the face of this earth has had to wrestle with that question. What am I here for? What is my purpose? And we didn't ask for this life. We just showed up. And we have to go through all the woes and the joys and everything that life gives. We didn't ask to be here. You can't buy more of this life. And we only have one way that we can give it up. And we find out, for the most part, that we want to hold on with everything we have to life. Many of us have sat there and faced that, and life takes on a totally different perspective when you come through something like that. And I know personally many here who have gone through the same similar experience, Paul. Life never looks the same. Things look totally different. And it's not only life-threatening events that you go through. You also find out that some things that you have given your life to, all of a sudden, things just fall totally apart. Relationships. What do I do now? What was all this about? And when you begin looking at all of this and trying to make sense out of all of it, you've got to remember that at one day, that question was faced by Joseph. What about his dad? When Joseph was born, he was treated like a special child. Got all kinds of favors. He didn't know life any differently than what he experienced there. I know that the greatest question I have faced is my own destiny. But one that I face with even greater horror is about my own children. My grandchildren. What have I said? What have I lived? What have I done that if all of a sudden they were jerked out of my presence and they had to face life totally alone? And so all of a sudden, here this man was jerked, this child was jerked out of his home. And he had to come to the place where he had to come face to face with who he was, what is all this about, and how much was put into his mind so that he could stand on his own. What kind of relationship would he develop? And you start looking at that story. That story is not only about me. That story is also an illustration of Christ. What Joseph went through is an illustration of what Christ went through. And I'd like to demonstrate that this morning, and to see how the story helps us in understanding. Because when you begin looking at the whole theme from Genesis on through, what was God doing? We see that we are in the midst of this great controversy. God is trying to help us understand where we came from, who we are, what's our destiny. How do we get from here to there? And that book of Genesis answers those questions. But so many times we can take the story of Joseph and we can think of, oh, what a faithful man. I mean, he wouldn't allow anything to get to him. And even when he was confronted with Potiphar's wife, oh no, don't let me do that. What a guy Joseph is. If you get hung up on that part of the story, or any part of the story that says, what a great man. He was a great man. But that's not the story. That story is about every single one of you. Because Joseph had to face that question and to make a decision. And what was the result? When you start looking at what he had to face. And as Ernie said, over and over and over in our minds, we went over, what did we say to a man who was the last sermon he would ever hear? What did he hear? Had no idea something like that would happen. Be the last person we'd ever say he's going to face his maker tomorrow. But folks, every one of us have that. None of us have any guarantee. We have no idea. What do I want to take from here to eternity? What do I want my children to face? For all of us parents and grandparents, there is an incredible message in here. Because where was God when Joseph was by himself? What happened to him? I want to read a statement to you. And we'll build on this a little bit. It's so funny, we were discussing this a little bit before we fell asleep last night. So I got up early this morning and going over the material. And then she comes out of the bedroom and says, guess what I found? and she'd been studying the same thing, and I hadn't even gotten this far, and she pointed this out to me, where she said, I went over some of the things that I wanted to share, and she says, you know, there's something else too. I says, what? And she read this to me. The life of Joseph illustrates the life of Christ. It was envy that moved the brothers of Joseph to sell him as a slave. They hoped to prevent him from becoming greater than themselves. And when he was carried to Egypt, they flattered themselves that they were to be no more troubled with this dreamer and his dreams, that they had removed all possibility of their fulfillment. But their own course was overruled by God to bring about the very event that they designed to hinder. So the Jewish priests and elders were jealous of Christ, fearing that he would attract the attention of the people from them. They put him to death to prevent him from becoming king. But they were thus bringing about the very results God had designed. So when your little child separates from you, and you wonder if they will be able to stand, where is God? What will he take from what you lived and what you said to get them through? I wonder if Jacob ever asked that question. What will happen with my child? Was there enough? Well, he splurged on this son, gave him everything in the world, thinking that he was loving him, when in reality he was creating all kinds of jealousy in the heart of the brothers. And it says that now I'm going to read this a little bit later. There's another part in there that I'd like to share with you. So when we begin looking at that question that every one of us have to face, do we have the right amount? Do we have the right kind? Do you realize 2/3 of this world's population has no idea about Genesis or the Bible or anything that we have? This day, 2/3 of the generations of all the people on the face of the earth have no idea about Genesis, have no idea about Christ, no idea of where we came from. It's hard to grasp, isn't it? We think what we have is such an incredible amount, and we assume that everybody has it. We think that this Bible has gone around the world. It hasn't. 2/3 of the people of this world on the face of this earth go to bed without any knowledge of that. I get amused how every quarter, at the beginning of the quarter, Ernie always has us do what? Anybody? Remember? Yeah, Trent. Look at the back of the quarterly, and there we see our mission thrust for that quarter. And we begin reading the figures on the back of that. And just, I didn't bring mine. Somebody have theirs? Trent, give us some idea in the back of that of some of the comparisons that Ernie tries to show us.
Well, they're talking about East Central Africa in this quarterly, and basically, let's see here. Here's Tanzania. There's 1,500 churches and a population of 37 million.
This church must be full.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. There's 326,000 members. Adventist members, I guess, out of a population of
37 million.
And that's just one union out of about a dozen here.
Yes. Yeah. And it just amazed you. Now, that's just our church, but we think, well, you know, all the rest of the churches put together, we've got a big voice. We don't. I have no idea. Well, what do they do with this question? Well, they do the very same thing, much the same way that Joseph had to do. Joseph had no scripture. He had absolutely nothing but the stories that were echoing, re-echoing in his mind as he was going through his life. What was he going to draw upon? Because there is a time that everything that we say to our children is just that. It's a story. When does it actually become their own? When does it actually become a life experience? And when does that God make himself known to that child? How does he do that? Well, we're told that Joseph, when he was in that pit, all of a sudden realized he thought he was going to die. Well, what was going to happen to him? Somewhere in there and on that trip to Egypt, Joseph made a decision that he was going to follow. But up until that moment, as far as we know, Joseph had no personal relationship with God. But he decided he was going to. Now, what was the consequence of that decision? What do we see in his life? What do we see happening? Yes, I'm going to give my life to you. Now tell me what happened to it. You would think that because of giving his life, that all these wonderful things would happen. What happened? Go over in your mind. Tell me some of the things. Kay?
He became a slave.
Yeah. Wonderful fruit. He became a slave. What are the other things that happened? There are several.
Went to prison.
Yeah, he went to prison. Yeah, I'll follow you. Went to prison. What else happened?
Falsely accused.
Yeah, falsely accused. Anything else happen? What was the fruit of following this God? Look at the things that he went through. Where was the affirmation? I learned something in my life. Peace is not the absence of conflict. Have you learned that yet? Peace is not the absence of conflict. I'd love to be the author of that. Somebody else thought it.